Changing Lanes, the official podcast of BMW.
Well, hello and a very big, warm welcome to this episode of Changing Lanes, the official podcast of BMW. My name is Nikki Shields.
And I'm Jonathan Tilley. And today on the podcast, Nikki and I, we're going to be taking you on a wild ride through our top five most famous and definitely distinctive corners from racetracks all around the world. Nikki, you've been on many racetracks, reporting, moderating, tons of events. So this is totally right up your alley.
Yes, it is pretty much my second home, much to my husband's disappointment. But I am very excited to get really into the nitty gritty of racetracks. And, you know, what is it that makes a particular racetrack so iconic? What is it that makes them stand out? Why do they tick? Why do they have so much history and heritage? But yeah, I mean, obviously, we talk a lot at BMW about speed and performance and acceleration. But a lot of that work, of course, is all about how you approach the corners. You know, we're talking about hitting the apex, taking the fastest line, your braking points, your acceleration, how you can approach the corner in the right way. How can you accelerate out of the corner the quickest way? So that's kind of what we're going to get into the nitty gritty of today.
Yes. And although I haven't been on as many racetracks as you, Nikki, and I'm just a little bit jealous about that, I did have a conversation with Alex Zanardi about what really goes on into training for a race. And he was talking about the sheer amount of effort needed just to keep the race car on the track. It was mind-blowing. And we're going to talk a little bit about Alex a little bit later for a corner that he made history on. But here's another thing. You might have seen on Instagram, there's a recent trend where there's like a simulated cockpit and people are taking turns trying to steer the wheel from left to right just in one direction, like in a race car trying to do a corner, and they can barely move the steering wheel. They're sweating, they're gritting their teeth, right? So if you think that a racetrack is just a racetrack, guess again. And one of the hardest parts of a racetrack is actually the corner. So I'm really pumped to be talking about this today.
Yeah, very exciting indeed. I also really love that there's always this kind of admiration. What's the word? I would say rivalry. Let's call it a rivalry between Formula One and Indy, because of course, you know, well, it's not just Formula One. It's many disciplines of motorsport that have many corners and complicated designs to the track. Whereas Indy over in the States is just oval racing. So they're just saying, well, all you need to do is to become a good Indy driver is to make sure you can turn left and that's it. Which I always find quite funny. I'm quite good friends with an Indy 500 champion. So he's always kind of talking about how easy it is to drive an Indy. Obviously, it is not easy to drive an Indy at all. It is probably one of the most terrifying motorsports out there. But maybe we can talk about that in a different podcast. So narrowing, I mean, this was kind of tricky, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we had a good old debate about how to break it down just to five of our favorite corners. It was not an easy task.
No.
We did consider numerous other corners that didn't make it to the list, unfortunately. You know, one of my favorites particularly was, of course, Maggots and Becketts at Silverstone. Watched many a race there. And then, of course, the bus stop in Daytona, always plenty of action at that point. But they didn't make the cut. So, drum roll, here is our five most famous and distinctive corners from racetracks around the world.
Yes. All right, here we go. First up, we have the carousel on the Nordschleife, or the North Loop, at the Nürburgring in Germany's Eifel Mountains. So, also known as the Green Hell.
Jackie Stewart's
nickname for the track. I mean, the Nordschleife is just...
It's like
man.
Something else. It's you can't even call it a racetrack. It's,
no.
You know, it's so long and it's such an intense battle.
Yeah,
I understand why he called it the Green Hell.
So like you were saying, Nikki, with your Indy friend, you just turn left and you're all good. Not here. 73 corners and curved section on the track. I mean, so it's so hard to pick just one corner. Now, yes, some candidates are corners with beautiful German names like Bergwerk, which is mine, or this is a tricky one even for me, Schwalbenschwanz, which is swallow's tail. Wow. I thought my German was good until this very moment. Brünnchen, which is a little well. That's kind of cute, but make no mistake about it. It's pretty tricky. But the most iconic one is the legendary, of course, Carousel, or a.k.a. Caracciola.
Very good.
Thank you. I'm getting there. Language as well, right? So this banked turn is a narrow left-hand hairpin, the inside of which is not paved, but covered with concrete slabs. I mean, me driving in a straight direction, like forward ahead on concrete slabs is pretty tricky as well. But on a hairpin curve like this, forget about it.
No thanks.
And just traveling at 50 miles per hour or roughly 80 kilometers per hour, depending upon the vehicles, drivers, they're going to enter this short, rough section hoping to hit the racing line to take as much momentum as possible towards the steep Höhe 8 right-hander. But this is just insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky part of what is already a very tricky track. And of course, it's also such a long track. There's a couple of corners named after Michael Schumacher and Bruno Senna. But I think we've picked the right one there, Carousel. Yeah. And of course, do let us know if you're listening in the comments what your favorite corner is. What makes you get up and either shout at the TV if you're watching it, or, you know, sends shivers down your spine if you get the chance to actually go there. Now, the next one, we have a track that I've actually been to quite recently. It was at the Monaco Grand Prix circuit. It also features in the Monaco Ypres street circuit, and that is the famous piscine, the swimming pool. Now, again, this was one that we sort of did discuss for quite a while because Monaco, it's such a historic track, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there are so, you could pick any corner there. You've got, you know, Rascas, Saint-Devot, of course, the Fairmont Hotel. Again, what a beautiful location. And unusually, it's the slowest corner in Formula One, but again, one of the most iconic. However, we thought we'd pick the turn, the corner at the Monaco Grand Prix, which provided quite a bit of excitement this year in the Formula One. It was actually turn 15, the swimming pool, where poor old Charles Leclerc hit the barriers. He managed to set pole position, but then hit the barriers. He managed to literally just touch the corner and unfortunately broke part of his car and couldn't continue and ended up hitting the wall. Red flags qualifying. And I think it provided lots of drama, didn't it, this year? And it's also just such a special location because you can see it's named after a swimming pool. There is a huge public swimming pool right in the heart of Monaco, right on the harbour front. So the cars literally wind their way around the swimming pool. You've got the harbour on the other side and it is absolutely beautiful. And actually, I should also say that the last time we were out for Formula E, we had Antonio Felix da Costa, who was the winner of the race, and he jumped in the swimming pool to celebrate. So there you go. It's famous for many reasons.
Perfect.
And also, we've got to say that, of course, the other reason that all the corners in Monaco are so famous, but this one in particular, is because there are no runoff zones. So any mistake is very costly because there is no margin for error when it comes to a street circuit. So, yeah, that is the next corner on our list of top five. Also, it's, I've got to say, actually, it's a very special time because when you drive through it, as you exit, you then exit a point where you've got all the grandstands on your left-hand side. So again, you've got all the crowds going wild, all the hospitality sits above. So it's a really kind of special moment, I think, in the track for the drivers to be able to hear the sound of the fans cheering them on.
Especially after making that really tough curve and then like, whoa, look at everybody. I made it, you know.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
I got through. And then they hit with another one.
All right. Next on our list, we have the corkscrew at the Laguna Seca Raceway near Monterey, California. Now, even pro racers, they find it ridiculously hard to get the racing line in this combination corner. The left-right combination, it winds down a hill like a corkscrew, fitting for its name, right? So coming from a slightly uphill right-hander, the driver got to brake and drive blindly into an inward-sloping left turn. I mean, that's insane, right?
Yeah, really, really hard.
Yeah. Then after going over a little camber, turn 90 degrees yet again, but to the right now, into a curve that also tilts inwards. I mean, this is a roller coaster ride and a massive challenge. And just going into it blindly, that boggles my mind.
Yeah,
that boggles my mind.
A blind corner. I mean, I don't know how they do it either.
Yeah, you know, and just watching the racers do it, it's like, how do they do it? And then you put yourself in their shoes or in their eyes and they're going into it blindly. Like, that's crazy.
And it's so, just the tiniest error makes such a difference. You know, you've basically got to be on the racing line 5 centimeters to the left or 5 centimeters to the right. If you get it wrong, then you're going to be in the wall.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You've made a mistake. That's it. Race is over.
And actually, one of our past podcast interview episode guests, Alex Sarnardi, he really made a name for himself in 1996 when he overtook the race leader in the actual corkscrew in the last lap of a kart championship race. Now, this is just unbelievable. I mean, Alex was an amazing person to chat with, so motivational, but don't let that fool you. He is, he's out for the kill, and he overtook in the corkscrew. Like, this is insane. So the move became known to many racing fans as the pass. The maneuver was banned for future years. And if you want to listen in on that podcast episode with Alex, it is episode number 6. And if, like I said, if you need a boost of motivation and inspiration, check it out. He's a really super cool guy.
Yeah, he really is, as you say, an inspiration to us all. And yeah, phenomenal sort of talker as well. So yeah. I agree. Listen into the other episode. Now, next on our list, it's really a corner that kind of keeps drivers on the edge. And that you will find in Italy at a track called Monza. It is, of course, the Parabolica.
It's yes.
First of all, I mean, Monza, what an awesome track. This is really getting me excited about going to racetracks again. But it's a kind of old school racetrack. You know, it's one of the last remaining high speed circuits on the Formula One calendar. Everyone loves going there. Everyone loves watching the racing. Everyone loves being involved in the racing. And ultimately, it's because you can pretty much go full throttle about 80% of the time. Mm. But I think even a track like this has to have some corners. And of course, the most famous one is the Parabolica. It is broad. It's a 180-degree corner that connects two of the track's longest straights. And basically, the drivers approach the giant turn at full throttle, hit the brakes to the absolute max to try and maintain some corner speed, and then they're able to go full speed again early at the end as the corner opens out. And as you know, key to racing is making sure you get the right exit, and that is key to the dash to the finish line.
Yeah.
And you know, it really does make a difference to the lap times.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, just watching it is like how, you know, but yeah. I mean, that's what they do for a living, you know, and I think that's why it's so exciting, whether you're physically there, Nikki, or watching it from home.
Yeah.
You know, it's just Amazing. It's fascinating to watch. All right. Last but definitely not least is the Eau Rouge, located in Belgium's famous Spa circuit. I mean, come on. We all knew it was coming, right?
You couldn't miss it out, that's for sure.
No brainer. Like, you gotta put it in there. I mean, no such list would be complete without this, right? So it's one of the favorite racetracks for lots of different racers from various categories. And it's considered one of Formula One's most heart-in-mouth corners. It is just, your pulse is racing just watching it, being there, driving that. I mean, your heart must explode, right? Common mistakes and something of a meme in social media as well. It's technically the Radillon de l'Eau Rouge. I hope I said that right.
Very
You've
good.
Been there.
Yeah.
You've been there. Oh, tell us all about it.
Wow. I went for the 24 hours of Spa. And I've always, you know, I would have obviously put this corner on the list had I not been there.
Yeah.
But having now been there, oh, wow. I don't, you know, the TV just does not do it justice. It is phenomenal. It takes your breath away. It's so wide. It's so steep. It's so fast. It's so undulating. My experience, the first time I went there, it was actually in the evening. So it was dark. So obviously all the, you know, cars are racing, lights are on, look fantastic. And sort of along the side, as if you're going down into Eau Rouge, you've got the pit lane on your right hand side. So you can literally stand on the pit wall right next to the cars flying past you, you know, 150 miles per hour plus. So I stood there for the first time, and I'm not joking. I've had some pretty exhilarating moments over, you know, my career, being very fortunate to be around racetracks or driving fast cars or being driven in fast cars, whatever. That was probably the most terrified I have ever been. Honestly, I jumped out of my skin. It was exhilarating after a while, but the first time it happened, it was terrifying because you think they're going to slow down. You know, you don't quite appreciate the speed of the cars and how close you can get to them. And they're just, flying full throttle into Eau Rouge. It was amazing though. And then I kind of got used to it, and then I sort of eased into it and I enjoyed it. But honestly, I was terrified the first time. My whole body shook.
I was not expecting you to say terrified. I thought you were going to be like, there was like, the sky opens, the sun beams, like your heart is... is a flutter. You feel like you're flying. No, terrifying.
Terrifying. I actually, it's so pathetic. I genuinely am not normally pathetic in these situations. I was by the pit wall and then I had to sort of run back into the pit lane on the other side of the garage just to sort of like catch my breath, calm down a bit. And then I was like, don't be so silly. And then I went back over and sort of stood and watched the race from there. But no, it was very, very special. But, you know, it is so challenging because you're going downhill, full throttle. You've got to exit a straight into a slight left-hand corner in a depression, of course. And then that's very quickly followed by a sharp uphill right-hander. And it really is uphill. You know, walking to that top of the hill is exhausting. Mm. Again, you can't tell quite how steep it is from the TV cameras. But yeah, very, very impressive. And I think, you know, in a Formula One race, the drivers can take that racing line at full throttle. So we're talking like 185 miles per hour.
Wow.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous. Yeah. You got to go there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
amazing.
That'll be my conclusion. Go and enjoy it firsthand.
Just go.
If you can. Yeah.
If you can handle it. If you're not too terrified.
Can, yes. I've prepared you now.
We've
so
been
you won't
briefed.
Jump out of your skin. Yeah,
we've been briefed.
Like I did.
So like you said, Nikki, in the beginning, hey, podcast listeners, did we hit your top five? Did we miss something? I know that we did a little bit of chatting and going back and forth before the podcast and doing our research, and it's very hard to find the top five. This is what we came up with. What do you think? Let us know.
Yes, do let us know what your thoughts are. And we just want to say a big thanks. Thank you for joining us once again for this week's episode of Changing Lanes. Always a pleasure to have you along for the ride.
100%. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you subscribe to our podcast for future episodes as well.
And of course, don't forget, if you do want to dive deeper into all things BMW, head on over to bmw.com to learn more.
I'm Jonathan Tilley.
And I'm Nikki Shields.
And this has been Changing Lanes.
See you next time.
Changing Lanes, the official podcast of BMW.